Life Online, The Digital Age. Catherine O'Dell, Series Editor, Bob Hastings. Chapter 1, The Birth of the Internet. People all over the world are connected by the Internet. How did it all start? The Information Superhighway, the World Wide Web, the Net. The Internet has been called many things since it was created. But it doesn't matter what it's called. The Internet is a wonderful invention that connects people all around the world. It is the key to the digital age. Like the telegraph and the telephone, the Internet heads a long line of inventions that have changed the way people communicate with each other. The Internet lets people communicate in many ways, through email, video, and social networking sites, for example. People use the Internet on computers, tablets, and smartphones. But how did the Internet start? It was partly thanks to a man named J.C.R. Licklider. In 1962, this American scientist had the idea that computers around the world could be connected to each other and share information. After several years of research, people working for the U.S. government had a plan for a network called ARPANET. By 1969, 4 computers were connected to ARPANET. More and more computers were connected to ARPANET, and in 1972 it was shown to the public. The first emails were sent around the same time. At first, only researchers and the government used computers connected to networks. But the use of the Internet to bring computers into networks was a great idea. And like most good ideas, it quickly spread. By the 1980s, many people had personal computers in their homes, and the World Wide Web, the Internet as we know it today, began in 1990. Now it is hard to imagine a world that is not connected by the Internet. When the Internet first became available to the public, it was mostly for companies that sold things online. Later, people began using the web to find and share information. With the invention of sites like YouTube and Facebook, people began using the Internet to communicate with each other in new ways. Now, the Internet is mobile, with people using it on smartphones, tablets, and other devices. Chapter 2. Liking, Tweeting, Trending. The Internet connects people around the world. It also lets people decide what they want to read, see, and share. Many people use the Internet to reconnect with family and old friends. For example, when Frances Simpson was 18, she started looking for her father. She hadn't seen him since she was 3 years old. But it wasn't easy. She couldn't find him for a long time. Then, after looking for 33 years, she finally found him through Facebook. After connecting on the Internet, they talked on the phone. And then they met face to face. They hadn't seen each other in almost 50 years. Social networking is the most popular reason people use the Internet. And Facebook and Twitter are two of the most popular social networking sites. Twitter is a site where people post, or put, short personal messages online. These tweets can be no more than 140 characters long. It's very popular. In 2012, there were over 1 billion tweets per day. Facebook is even more popular. In 2013, there were over 664 million Facebook users. If Facebook were a country, it would have the 3rd largest population in the world, after China and India. Instagram, a photo-sharing site, is also really popular. In January 2013, over 100 million photographs were posted on the site. The Internet has connected people around the world in some unusual ways. In 2012, Korean pop singer Psy posted a video of his song Gangnam Style on YouTube. It soon became the most watched YouTube video of all time, with over 1 billion views. Gangnam's song and dance move started a new web trend. American football player Roy Higgins, some teachers in England, and parents and their babies in Los Angeles have all posted videos doing Psy's dance. There are even videos with My Little Pony cartoons and someone dressed as Gandalf from Lord of the Rings doing Psy's moves. Because of the Internet, people around the world are all doing the same dance. No one knows what the next internet trend will be and how it will connect people. The internet connects people in serious ways, too. Many people get news from online news services. Others get more personal news by reading what their friends post about what is going on in the world. On websites like Dig, readers say what news stories they like, and this helps the website creators decide what kinds of stories to post in the future. People also post photos and videos of things they see, and sometimes they send them to television networks. People like Mark Zuckerberg, the creator of Facebook, and Jay Adelson, the creator of Dig, think it's good for people to have control of what is on the internet. They think it gives power to the people. With the internet, there's less censorship. Chapter 3: Online Dangers. The internet helps people in many ways, but there are also many problems with the internet. People having control over internet content can be a good thing, but there are some problems with the internet. First of all, the information on the internet is not always true. People can easily post false information. This can be a problem when people are doing research. In one study, teachers said the internet helps students do better research. However, the same teachers also said it is difficult for students to find reliable information. Another problem is internet hoaxes. For example, Vera reads online that Mars will be so close to Earth at 4:30 a.m. that it will look like there are two moons in the sky. She sets her alarm and gets up in the middle of the night, but she can only see one moon. The information she read was a hoax, but false information can spread quickly on social networking sites, and lots of people can think it's true. Another example of a hoax was when someone posted that you can charge your phone with an onion. Don't try it. It isn't true. Some hoaxes are more dangerous. Some people have lost a lot of money because of emails from fake banks asking them for their banking information. Cyberbullying is another problem on the internet. Malalia Siafa Bangura, a New York City student, was cyberbullied on Facebook by a girl from her class at school. The classmate posted mean messages on Malalia's Facebook page and even said she was going to hurt Malalia. In a 2011 study, 88% of American teens that use the internet said they have seen someone be mean to another person on a social networking site. Cyberbullying can make teens feel terrible, and some even kill themselves. However, in 2012, Malalia decided to do something about it. She wrote a song against cyberbullying, and she sang it with other classmates in an educational program for her school. Betsy Sparrow, a researcher at Columbia University, thinks the internet changes how we use our brains. In a study, she looked at internet usage and memory. People were given 40 facts to type into a computer. Half of the people were told the information was saved, and the others were told it was deleted. The group that thought the information was deleted remembered more of the facts. Dr. Sparrow says that when we know we can find answers on the internet, we don't remember as much information. However, she also found that people remember what websites to go to in order to find different kinds of information better than they remember facts. She doesn't think this is bad, only that the internet is changing the kinds of things we remember. Chapter 4: Music and File Sharing. The internet also changed the way we buy and listen to music. Since the late 1800s, people have recorded music so that others could listen to it. But digital music as we know it today didn't start until the 1980s. Karlheinz Brandenburg is often called the father of the MP3. He started working on a way to record music in small digital files in the 1980s. By the early 1990s, he was ready to change the way we listen to music. But to use these digital audio files, or sound files, on the internet, he needed a file extension. In July 1995, he chose .mp3 for the file extension. Brandenburg says that July 14, 1995, is the MP3's birthday. With MP3 files, people can listen to music digitally and also share it. In 1999, Sean Fanning started Napster, a website that let people share MP3 files. The creation of Napster changed the world of buying and selling music. For the first time, people could download songs free instead of buying them. The people in the music business said that Sean Fanning and people using Napster were breaking the law. The record companies and music artists were angry because they were losing money. The band Metallica took Fanning and 300,000 Napster users to court. They said that they were stealing their music. Then the record companies took Fanning to court, too. In 2001, Napster shut down. It never opened again. Howard King, one of Metallica's lawyers, said that file sharing was not only potentially the end of the music business, but the end of the movie business, the end of the book business, and really the end of protection for intellectual property. After Napster, other sites like YouTube started sharing music files and videos. New laws were made to protect musicians and the music business, but the story of Napster gave Steve Jobs, the owner of Apple, an idea. He wanted to create a way for people to buy songs online without breaking the law and a way for musicians to get money for their songs. So he started an online music store that he called iTunes. By 2012, about 435 million people were buying music on iTunes. Today, not so many musicians are worried about people stealing their music. iTunes and other ways of selling music online help them make money. And now, there are laws to protect their intellectual property. Studies show that fewer than 30% of artists feel that file sharing is a problem. In fact, most musicians use the internet to promote their music online. Many musicians also offer free music online. They say this helps them sell more songs and concert tickets. Every year, there are more and more movies, songs, and books available online. So the fight for artists to protect their intellectual property isn't going to end anytime soon. However, for musicians and other artists, there are both advantages and disadvantages in the digital world. Chapter 5. What do you think? Technology is changing the way we connect digitally. What does our digital future look like? Many people say that one day soon, all our music, movies, art, books, and newspapers will only be in digital form. Will people only use e-readers in their regular lives and go to museums to see real paper books? Will people only take classes from home and never enter a classroom? Will they only watch movies online? Will movie theaters be a thing of the past? Will people stop using paints and only create digital art? Communication has changed a lot from the invention of the telegraph in 1837 to the internet as we know it today. How will we communicate 180 years from now? The way we use the internet in the past was called Web 1.0. The way we use it today, in which everyday users can control the content, is called Web 2.0. Will there be a Web 3.0? What will it look like? Some think people in the future won't have good relationships with other people because they will only know how to communicate online. Many think we will use new technology to communicate from our brains to computers without using a keyboard or a mouse. But others think the digital age will come to an end and we will go back to the way things were before the internet. Technology can help us communicate in many new ways. Apple Siri. On an iPhone with Siri, you can tell your phone to send messages, make phone calls, and find directions. Siri asks you questions, too, to find out what you want to do on your phone. Drag and dictate. With drag and dictate, you talk, and your computer types what you say. It is 5 times faster than typing. Next window. Next window lets you create art using your fingers or brushes on a computer screen. Emotive Epic. This is a headset you wear. With it, you can create music and art just by thinking. You can also play computer games with your brain. People who cannot move their arms can use it to control their wheelchair with their mind. Power Translator. This is a program that translates letters, emails, and websites from one language to another. P300 Speller. People are working on this brain-to-computer program. A person wears a hat that reads signals in the brain. The computer types what the person is thinking. Kinect for Xbox 360. With Kinect, you can control video games by moving your body. Do you use any of this technology? Who do you think it's useful for? What are the advantages of this technology? What are the disadvantages? How do you think people will use voice control, controlling a computer with the body, and brain-to-computer technology in the future.